my VIP listeners, because at this point, if you listening now, and this is season 3, episode 9 I'm about to speak about, then you are a very important person to me, and you've been rocking with me for a long time, so yeah, y'all my VIP now. And for people that are just listening, you have officially become a star seed, and you can graduate later on with the other people that just been following me, my ride or die, or whatever. But yes, so just an introduction is, this is Alicia Mitchell with Overcome the Challenge, OTC, yes, a podcast about self-improvement and personal empowerment. So it's really just about me learning to empower myself, learning to improve, you know, myself in all areas of life, just growing and being the best version of myself. And you being able to follow my journey to see how I navigate these things and see if it can be some help with you, or if it can let you know that you're not alone. So that's what it's always been about. And so for me, I find myself, I just realized that this is episode 9, so I do 10 episodes each season, so of course the season finale would be next, and that's like a lot of great pressure on me, because I ain't been with it, no, at all, like with this, but nevertheless, it is, you know, a wake-up call for me. Every time I think now I do these podcasts, it's a wake-up call, because it had started as my happy place, so oh, I'm like, I'm home, oh my God, it feels so good. Like, I guess, you know, that's what a therapist is for, to just vent your emotions, get them out of your system, and if you realize every time you do that, whether it's a therapist, a friend, or whoever, you know what I'm saying? It's like a small weight is lifted off your shoulders. The heaviness is kind of gone. And so that's what this podcast feels to me. And that's why I love it. So it's been really hard for me to gravitate and pick up episodes and let them download and that magic happen. And I had to realize that maybe at the point when I first started this 3 years ago, things were different in my life, like completely a 180. So that was the first thing I really need to realize, why I would have podcast blocks, or why my energy was blocked, or I couldn't channel. Like, I didn't have it in me, good place, you know, to do that. So the first thing is basically, you know, we were in lockdown because I started this in COVID. We were in lockdown. We did the week in the house. And, you know, just kind of like restricted to certain things where we were home maybe 80% of the time, or too scared to get out 100% of the time. So it was in that moment where I was alone. Everybody was forced with their feelings, their significant other, just things they really hadn't faced because they were so much out in the world, paying attention to other worldly things, going to work and just going through the motions, that we really don't tap in and ground ourselves in that earth, what we call our home. So it made a wake-up call, especially for me in this way. So I was able to, like, channel these emotions I was sitting and left with and never had time to think about, you know. So, and then it transitioned. I could see the pivot of, you know, COVID loosening its restrictions, us doing remote and half going in the job. And then, you know, later on in life, coming to almost 100% in the job. Let's keep it real now. So I wasn't in my safe place. Yes, the podcast is my happy place, but my safe place had kind of been rearranged. It was kind of like I bought new living room furniture and decided to change the whole look. And if you know me, that's all I do. Like, I would change my living room up. Okay, I'm one of them people, like, I think it does bring me new energy. So, that was just one of the things, you know. So now I'm out in the world with people and this and that. And one thing for me is I had been working from home for years doing, like, you know, pharmaceutical audits and stuff like that. And little odd jobs on the side where I could still be at home. And you know, so it was easier for me to groove into a podcast. It was easy for me to go on my lunch break and probably do one. I'm already at home. So that had changed. And I think that's the struggle that I'm experiencing now. Two was the career. Like I said, I was in a different career. And at home, you know, all these little opportunities, a lot of people really got some. If you really tapped into COVID, you would have got some growth, like the PPP loan or whatever. They had some opportunities out there. And at that time, you know, people were kind of desperate. They just needed the business to continue to run and function. They could not have it stopped. So these positions and these organizations and these events were popping up. They kind of pretty much changed and shaped the world. The first thing I thought was kind of like, oh, you told us we could never work at home, and this proves it. Like, you know, your job. So it was like that was a hidden unlock level to employment, to work at home. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was, like, it's crazy. So, and now we care. Like, it ain't no ifs and buts about it. And there was some other things that was loosening up. And it kind of just woke my eyes, like, okay, these things that they said we couldn't do, all of a sudden we can do it. And that's why I said the changing world, the circles you surround yourself. And it got introduced to more of the educator role and just being involved and wanting to be one of them involved parents, putting my girls and stuff, and participating. And like I said, as we pivot and transition, I had to go and meet these people sometimes in person. Probably never met them like in 6 months. We've been on a computer, you know, those meetings and crap. So now I mean you in person. So it's awkward, you know, all types of things we went through when we kind of stepped back up into the world. And like I said, I had been staying home working before COVID. So for me, it was easy to, like, people were complaining. I'm like, this ain't nothing. I've been doing this before COVID. You know, I got blessed with that opportunity to work at home for years. So, and that was a challenge as well when I pivot out, the authority issues. You know, I really, nobody had authority or micromanaging, things like that. Or me doing whatever I want to do, like we did when we worked at home. You can't do that when you're out at a job at headquarters at corporate. Not do what you want to do. Be all comfortable and stuff. So I just realized that things had changed in my safe place. And that's why I was experiencing these things and how the safe place and the happy place was the black and white. And there was this gray area that pivot where COVID was coming in adjusting time. Like, we still adjusting, I feel like, just now. And the crazy part is it's not even gone. But everybody just, like, it's gone. It's an unspoken word. I guess because we don't want to live in that fear anymore. So desensitized about it. So there it is. Then I became desensitized about my emotions. Because now it's like something every day going on. That don't even surprise me. What's next? And it's becoming desensitizing. So I had all this compassion. You know, sitting at home doing it, and now that I'm out in the field, I was kind of desensitized from my own emotions. So that's what led me into, you know, season 3, episode 9, which was titled Self-Love versus Self-Care. That one was so tricky to me because at first I thought it was the same thing. It's not. It's actively two types of form of self-improvement. One is self-improvement. Let me put it like that. You know what I'm saying? The self-care. And one is personal empowerment. Let's go. Self-love. What my podcast is about. So I was just mixing them two together. And the same thing, when you look at those two words, self-improvement and personal, you think it's the same thing. Of course, they're operating parallel. But at the end of the day, when you break down those definitions and see what's structured with that word and that notation, that sentence, you know what I'm saying? It's something totally different. It puts a different perspective or spin on it, you know, like, oh, okay. And so, like I always do, and that's what helped me understand, because I was working with backwards emotions. I thought happy was sad and sad was happy. So how do you flip those emotions? Come on now. It was like trying to, you know, put things in perspective. So I flip words. Let's keep it real. What is self-improvement? Let's flip it to improve oneself. First person. Ain't no second person, third person. You, I, me, all about. You know what I'm saying? And then you have personal empowerment. Flip it. To empower oneself. Like, keep it real. Now we are matching the emotions with emotions. Like, come on. That is like a moment for me to do that. But I had to do the opposite of what the opposite was. That's crazy. You know what I'm saying? When I really think about it. So that is the self-care and the self-love that I had to learn. So like I said, if we look at the word self and we notice I, speaking in you, first person, you also can know that I can see right through it and say it's selfish. I'm big on prefixes and suffixes. Come on. I'm big on real words. Let's find a root in it. That's my emotions. I got to dig deep inside of the word to dig up out those emotions to find. Crazy work. I got to flip something around to discover how these emotions really click. Like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? So that's what the preface is. I got to put something before. I got to put something at the end to figure out if this is really something I'm experiencing and what part of it is. Am I at the end? You know what I'm saying? The suffix. Or I'm at the beginning. The prefix. Let's go. You know what I'm saying? So you see selfish in there. Like, don't get it twisted. Self-love and self-care is all about being selfish. And when we think about selfish because we're so desensitized, we're going to say that's a bad word. That is a negative word. Ooh, selfish. You so selfish. That's how backwards our emotions is. No, it's a time and a place. Like the old people always say, it's always a time and a place for the universe and for you and for whoever you serve. Believe it. It's a time and a place for them. You know what I'm saying? So just figuring out when you need to be selfish is the thing. And the first form of selfishness will be self-care and self-love. Let's go. Self-care, you're just caring for yourself. Flip it. Let's go. You see what I'm saying? So, and that's just taking time for yourself. Knowing that you might hurt somebody's feelings, that's why it's so negative. You see what I'm saying? Because you know if you be selfish, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. And that ain't a good feeling. Even if it's you doing it. You know what I'm saying? You might not like me letting people down. Come on. You don't want to do that. So figuring out that situation when it's time to be selfish. And when that will come is when you know you need to put about all about you. Self. When it needs to be all about self at that point. You know what I'm saying? You are doing things to protect your emotional health. That's what I figured out self-care was. You are doing things to not deplete your emotional bandwidth. And that might look like to some people, I'm doing me. New phone, who this? What's best for me? Yes, that's what self-care is. And self-love, flip it, loving oneself. So these things can be done mentally, physically, spiritually, come on, intellectually, all type of ways. Like doing something for yourself once a day, doing some, being a service to others, getting something done on your checklist, taking a nap, taking a bubble bath, treating yourself to a spa or a massage. Like, basically, treat yourself like the prince or the princess of Zumbamba. Whatever they say up in Eddie Murphy. You see what I'm saying? Like, for real. Throw those flowers out in front of you till you step to that tub. Like, that's for real, that self-love to me. Because we're throwing our flowers. We're expanding our energy and treating other people like princes and kings and queens. And they don't even deserve the treatment or that level of treatment that you are putting that energy into them when it should be in yourself. Or we can talk about it in one another of my episodes where it should be broken up in 80-20. Like that rule. Figure that one out. That 80-20. Which one we going to be? And when we talk about that 80-20 rule, because that one is, I think, in top five now. It's really intricate to study rules. And they kind of like these laws, you know what I'm saying, that have Newton's laws. Like they have this type of diagram and digress in them that you can see where in the physical world is manifesting in your life. So the 80-20 rule, I'm putting 80% of self-love and self-care in this person. And I'm giving myself 20%. And then since we're talking about flipping it, we can say if it's in one of those equally unbalanced situation where they give and take energy off, then you could say they still taking your 80%, keeping their 80% for them and giving you your 20 right around, which they matched you 40%. They sitting at 160. Let's do the math. They overcompensated because numbers don't lie. I love talking about numbers. Come on. Like math is so cool to me. You know what I'm saying? Because when you break down the concepts, it's simple. Simple math. It's where it all starts from to build. So it's like, so I had to learn about that. And ultimately, when I got into a place, because I was so not selfish, unselfish,
that I would just sacrifice all my time and energy for people and leave nothing, you know, for me. And I was left to try to figure out what is your expression or your love language, or how would you self-love and self-care for yourself? And the first thing I think that brought it all together was this podcast. This is a form of self-love and self-care. I care about myself enough to get it right. You know what I'm saying? I care about myself to love me unconditionally, all the raw energy and how it's being viewed or whatever. Don't worry about it. It's you. You showing up authentic. And when you show up authentic, you don't care what they say about you. You are standing and speaking your truth. Because you know why? Whatever they saying, it may be true. We can take the constructive criticism and whatever, or whatever. We just won't take it personal no more. That's a boundary. I'm not going to take it personal. Yeah, you wrong. You foul. You know what I'm saying? You move it kind of funny. But I ain't going to take it personal. I know you still got shit to work through. I know you still got stuff to work through. And so this is where I'm at. And so I feel like these freestyles and these things and like that is just me trying to figure out where is my safe place now. I mean, my safe home. Because it got unrooted. I'm not at home. And it was like wherever you find it. Gotta channel into that energy. So I really thank you guys for listening and rocking with me. And I love releasing stuff sometimes because I had did it along. Like I said, one of my things I stood on when I first write it is you don't want to water it down. You don't want to constantly release stuff. I'm not saying I'm waiting for people to get their popcorn ready either. No, it's just, this is what it is. Being authentic, standing in my truth. So it's just a lot of moving parts with this podcast that's been going on behind the scenes, like multiple articles coming out, multiple, some mergers possibly, the start of something greater, you know what I'm saying? The transition, the brand marketing transitioning's picking up, profit margin and companies. You know, I don't want to charge people for my podcast and subscribe. Ain't nothing with that. But me being able to give my raw, vulnerable energies and people like it, that's priceless. That's priceless. You know what I'm saying? For me. So my thing is more of a corporate to market me, to push me out and pay for me to do this and still give it to you direct and free. Like, come on. We hate when we got to go to a therapist and we still get charged. And we might come out there not even a problem solved, kind of like aggravated. So I'm here. I'm here. Like, I really am. And then I keep this thing on my mind a lot. And so I think that when I stray away, I need the wake-up call. And it just shows me how much more growth I got to do. I got to go through all the way to season one and figure out how I, like I said, well, we had the prefix and suffix of everything. Did we really conclude everything like you think you was doing? And just revisit that to find that. And what now I got to pivot on. Take what was good from that and add on to it. Innovation, technology, what I mean. Like, we always going to have an iPhone next level, next number. As long as we alive. I mean, I might be alive to see iPhone 23, 30. You see what I'm saying? The increase the innovation. Because guess what? I can't keep going back. I cannot, as everybody say, the iPhone changed one thing and keep everything else, but that's false advertisement, remember? I can't just change the price, throw a couple colors on it, make it look, put an extra camera, and keep the same features as season one, when it first came out, or the phone before. Like, no, I got to elevate it, so now I got a microchip, all these extra stuff, like you don't even know. I'd be still learning my phone and confused, and don't let it update. So it's like, we are in a phase, or I would say I'm in a phase of innovation. So things will be changing. I think I'm ready to really just allow myself to be and see what the staying power is. I have planted my feet. Let's put the growth to really to work. And so I thank you guys for always listening and accepting me. And I hope you like this episode of Overcome the Challenge, OTC by Alicia Mitchell, Season 3, Episode 9, titled Self-Care versus Self-Love. Love you. See you next time.